Thank you. My name's Ramesh. I'm a private citizen. My question relates to FSI terms and reference of reference paragraph 2, subsection 1, relating to consumer protections, and subsection 2, relating to how financial risk is allocated and how systemic risk is managed. In 2008-09, Commonwealth Bank bought Bankwest from HBOS. As part of its due diligence, CBA applied its own risk profile to Bankwest customer loans and regraded performing loans as impaired. During this time, CBA did not only foreclose on these performing businesses who were not in any financial trouble, they did so aggressively by manipulating non-monetary covenant defaults. CBA used any available non-monetary default, such as LVR, LBVR, EBIT, amongst others, to make sure these customers would fail, as it needed these loans to be deemed as seriously impaired loans in order to attempt to gain a benefit from a clawback clause embedded in the purchase agreement. To be clear, I believe that banks should be allowed the freedom to change their risk profile as economic conditions change. However, where a customer is meeting his obligations, the bank should not be able to manipulate and manufacture defaults through non-monetary covenants and then immediately foreclose on customers without giving the customer a reasonable chance to refinance elsewhere. By foreclosing on these customers who are not in any financial trouble, CBA were able to transfer customers' cash flow and equity through personal guarantees, fixed and floating charges, and penalty rates. This is effectively a form of wealth transfer. My question is, does the FSI panel intend to address the imbalance of legislative power between banks and customers, and will you be making recommendations to the Abbott government about legislation changes addressing this imbalance so that small businesses can defend themselves next time an Australian bank gets into financial difficulty through no fault of the customers?
Thank you. The issues that we look at on a systemic basis, not an individual institution basis. That's the same as the Campbell Committee, the Wallace Committee, that's our mandate. In this case, what's been brought to our attention is the form of loan contracts, particularly in the small and medium business area, and the expansion of those contracts over years to include many new clauses. And the issue we're looking at here is what we call information asymmetry. That is the knowledge of the form of contract for the lender versus the borrower, and whether or not there are what we call unfair provisions of those contracts. And we've also now had two meetings with the council organised by Minister Bilson and discussed that with that group, with a view to determining whether more can be done about so-called unfair contracts, and that's an ongoing part of our work. The other issue that we would like to consider is whether a loan made to a business, which is what you might call a principal and interest loan, but with non-monetary default conditions on fall in value of security, is in fact also a margin loan, and whether this has systemic consequences. So we, thanks to some people who sent us examples of documents, we've been able to trawl through this issue fairly well, and we've even seen some documents used in the market today, that is, since Bankwest, and compared the two. So it is, again, one of those consumer issues that we've taken into account, and we'll see what comes forth in the next round of submissions as well.
So, did you...
I should just add to that that there's an unfortunate issue where one bank in distress is taken over by another. If in the market there's a merger of listed banks, there isn't normally a due diligence process, negotiation and indemnity from the vendor. In those circumstances where there's an agreement and indemnity, I understand some of the emotion and issues around this topic, But to the extent there's an indemnity that the buyer should avail itself of, it can only do so by following the form of contract that it acquired.